We're doing Pirkei Avot with the Jewish home. We're up to the 5th chapter, 20th Mishnah. Yudavin Teima Omer. Yudavin Teima says, Heve az kanamer. Be brazen like a leopard. Kal kaneshel, light like an eagle. Ratz katzvi, run like a deer. Gibor kari, brave as a lion. Lasot otzon avicha shebashamayim, to do the will of your Father in heaven. And we had discussed how every trait is positive. It just needs to be channeled. That's true in life. That's true in marriage. So I'll give you a simple example. God willing, you'll all be married, you'll have children, and there are difficult times in marriage. The first difficult time is the first night. Guess what? You come home, and it doesn't seem to go so smoothly. Oh, yeah, the first night might go smoothly, but right after you get married, suddenly your wife is going to change on you. She's going to become more feminine. She's going to cry more. She's going to be more pressured. Why? Because life is more pressure. And even if a person was fully capable being single, suddenly when they're married, there's much more pressure. If you don't cook, there's no food. If you don't clean, it ain't clean. The pressure of marriage is tremendous on a woman. Let's take a simple example. You get married, the morning after the wedding, you walk out of the house, you look the same. Maybe you'll get a ring. By the way, Orthodox Jews don't exchange rings. If your wife wants to give you rings, that's fine, just not during the wedding ceremony. She could give it to you that night when you get home or the next day. But at the wedding ceremony, we believe that part of what the Torah tells us when you marry a woman is you're showing her how much you cherish her. That's the idea of kiddushin and nisuin. You're making moves to show her how much you are lucky that she is willing to be your wife. And so therefore you give her something. She doesn't have to give you anything in return. And on the contrary, if she gives you something in return, that disqualifies the marriage. That's you want to get a ring from her, no problem. But later, not at the wedding ceremony. The wedding ceremony, be a gentleman. You give her a ring. At any rate, back to our thing. So suddenly life is difficult. Things are very difficult. Things are challenging. It's not as easy as leading a single life. You walk out of the house the next morning, you're the same guy. She walks out of the house, suddenly she has to cover her hair. Suddenly everything feels different. And by the way, compliment her on her hair covering. It's one of the things you got to do. You always have to compliment her, but her hair covering, she's always going to be conscious. You always see the women at Sheva Brachos doing this, right? Okay, your job is to tell her she looks great.
What do you say? I can't see any of your hair. Good job, you know?
No, you tell her she you tell her she looks great. What do you mean?
I love it when you cover your hair and I can't see it.
So this is something you have to work on, Akiva, but you have some time, okay? You can tell her, yes, your hair is gorgeous, but the hair covering is also very nice. You look very nice in that hat, and that tichel, and that wig, whatever she's going to wear. It looks very nice, yes. She wants to hear, she looks nice. Every person wants to hear, they look nice. So there's another time that's very difficult in marriage, and that is after every baby, when the first baby especially. You'd think everyone's all happy, right? But when you come home from the hospital or being by your parents, suddenly there's this tremendous pressure. There's this creature that needs me and cannot live without me. And suddenly there's this huge pressure on a woman. You, the fathers, won't sense it. You'll just be happy. We're home. And suddenly you walk through the door, and you've been a good husband. You've cleaned up the whole house. You've put everything in its place. Everything's clean and neat, and you've prepared 13 meals in advance so she doesn't have to do anything. Everything's great. You walk through the door, and you have all this surprise. You've been sweating bullets for 3 days preparing everything. You walk through the door, and you're waiting to hear her appreciation, and she starts crying. And you look at her and say, "What's wrong?" And she says, "The flower pot's in the wrong place." And you're looking at her and you're saying, "You're crying about a flower pot?" She's not crying about the flower pot. Walking through the door is a tremendous amount of pressure on a woman. First baby, second baby, third baby. It's tremendous pressure. You know, women will tell you that they can't go to the bathroom. What's going to be if the baby cries? The baby keeps them up at night. You know, that's called torture in other places in the world. They get sleep deprivation. But that's what happens. You come home and suddenly there are tremendous difficulties. It's not easy. You have to go out, and if it's too cold, who's going to watch the baby? You can't take the baby out in the cold. It's a lot of pressure. So one of the things I tell guys is, it's the middle of the night and the baby's crying. So what do you feel like doing? You tell her, honey, he wants to nurse. It's true. You say, I wish I could nurse him, but you know, I can't. So, anyone here speak Hebrew? Yeah, so there's a famous joke in Hebrew. Atzat Hashem hitakum. Right? Atzat Hashem hitakum. So, men will very often say, Atzat Hashem, you know what God's advice is? Hitakum. She should get up. So if she's smart, she'll turn back to you and tell you, Atzat Hashem hi. God's advice is, takum, you get up, right? But the truth is, we just said, Heve az kanamer, you have to be brazen like a leopard. Where do you apply this? When you come home, and that first night, or the first 100 nights, the baby starts crying, you get out of bed. Yeah, you won't see straight, it doesn't matter. We've all been there. You get out of bed, you take the baby, you change its diaper, and then you bring her the baby so that she gets the baby. She doesn't have to change the diaper too. I understand you can't nurse. That's not an excuse for not changing the diaper. You could change the diaper. So get out of bed. You be the one to take him out of his crib. You change the diaper. Save her that much. And you show her, look, I'm doing as much as I can. There are little things, but these little things make a big difference. So when we look at these traits are all important. Kal kanesher, swift like an eagle. You're both sitting down and it's Matzei Shabbos and it's late like now in the summer and you say, you know, we got to eat Malava Malka. Maybe we should heat up something from Shabbos. And she says, great idea. And you say, yep. Get up. No, Kal Kanesher. Be swift like an eagle. Go do it. Honey, isn't it a great idea for us to sit down with a cup of coffee now? And you say, yeah, it's a great idea. Right, get up and do it. Kal Kanesher, be swift like an eagle. There are times to apply this. And like every midah, every trait, like the Rambam writes in his introduction to Shmona, to Pirkei Avos, he says, you fake it. You begin by faking it. You want to be a diligent person? Make believe you're a diligent person. With time, you'll acquire the trait. Fake it till you make it. That's the way we acquire traits. Act as though you've acquired it, and with time you will. Yes? I didn't hear you.
No woman, no cry. That's from the Bob Marley song.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's like, I guess you've never heard of it?
Nope.
What? No woman, no cry. Okay, well, I'm sure someone, no one's heard of it.
I've heard it. It's a pretty good song.
I'm sorry.
Okay. But the conclusion of the Mishnah, La'asot Ratzon Avicha Shebashamayim, to do the will of your Father in heaven, we have to know that God's will is that we be good husbands. One of the important messages that Rav Salant said, and then it was quoted in every Sheva Brachos of MTJ, is your wife's material desires are your spirituality. If she wants a dress, then for you getting that dress, that's spirituality. Don't look at it as, what do you need another dress for, honey? Come on, you look great. No, if you can afford it, so then that physical desire that she has, for you that's mitzvah. Ratzon avicha shebashamayim. Yes, the will of our Father in heaven is that there be peace in the home. Peace in the home means I'm willing to forgo my desires, my preferences. I'll tell you a vort I said, and I think there's truth to it. When a couple have issues and he's suspecting her of doing something improper, right? So we have the whole mitzvah of sota. We just learned about it. What's the mitzvah of sota? God says, he warns her, and then if she's alone with the guy again, they go up to the temple, and then the kohen warns her, and then she says, I'm innocent, and then they bring that whole parchment, they write down the whole parsha, they erase it into the waters, and they tell her, look, if you're clean, then this will only be a blessing for you, but if you've really been with another man, then you're going to die from this, so do you want to confess? And she says, no, I'm clean, fine. She drinks the water, and whatever happens, happens, right? So God says, erase the parsha with my name in it to maintain peace between them. How's that going to maintain peace between them? They're going to come back home and she's going to say, you see you're a bum? You see you're too nervous? You see you drive me crazy? Now everyone's talking and everyone knows what kind of terrible human being you are. Look at what you've done to me in front of everyone. You embarrassed me. You took me up to the temple. Where's the peace and all that? They're going to come home and he's going to tell her, what do you want? The Torah gives me mitzvah. Okay, you're clean, fine. But how was I supposed to know that? I warned you. What'd you go into the room alone with him for? Come on. There were witnesses. You did it. So why'd you do it? And she says, yeah, but look at you. You're too zealous. You're too careful. You drive me crazy. Where's the peace in that? So I said, it's not written anywhere, but I think it's an important message. I said that maybe the message is, God says, erase my name into the waters. There's a biblical prohibition to erase God's name. What's God saying? You want peace in the house, you got to be willing to forgo things that seem critical to you.
Does that mean you could transgress other avera?
We don't transgress mitzvot to maintain the peace.
God's name.
Right? But God says, here I want you to erase. And maybe he's teaching us things about ourselves. That sometimes you have to erase things that feel pivotal to you. Your wife says, I don't want you drinking coffee. But I want to feel at home. Is it worth fighting over? There was a couple where every night she'd leave the milk out and every morning another bag of spoiled milk. So I told him, that's your investment in marriage. So what? And he says to me, but why can't you put the milk in the fridge? And I said, I don't care. So you're investing 6 shekel in your marriage. 6 shekel a day is cheaper than therapy. Forgo the 6 shekel. It's not going to change. So he says, yeah, but I'm a person who's always careful not to waste things. And I say, great. So don't waste your marriage. Forget the bag of milk. You can't fight over the bag of milk. She's not going to change, but it's a part of me. Right, you got to erase parts of yourself. There are parts of yourself that are not going to jive and you have to be flexible. Go with the other person. Yes.
What about the board? Another way of saying, if you don't have some fights because you don't have enough Kedusha in it, and when somebody gets a divorce, God weeps. So that's maybe he says, you know, erase me from that because I'm not part of that.
Okay, yafeh. 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 Okay, so we'll pick up here next week.